Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
A lot of great games in the world of hoops, but most importantly, we got the best ever celebrity sighting in the building last night. It is Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr., Janae Ogwumike, who has lost her voice, but she's still here. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Now, this hour, we will obviously dissect everything you need to know that happened in the NBA. But we have to start with the ladies. Hey, ladies, because finally, it has happened, ladies and gentlemen. We not only had dinner and broke bread, but Mike Golic Jr. is in town. I was going to say the area codes. What is it, like 8-something, 7-3, whatever the area codes of L.A., 213-310, you know what it is. And I'm so excited because finally, in person, Michael Jr. broke bread and we both ate. But he was at the game. He was at the L.A. Sparks game. Junior, I am so eager for you to tell the people, which I know you already did a little bit earlier, what your experience was.
Yeah, Janae mentioned it earlier here. Incredible all the way around. First off, a great win for the Sparks against the Phoenix Mercury, who you guys are going to play again on Friday there. It was cool, you know, in a different way, seeing one of my former classmates and Skylar Diggins-Smith on the other sideline there. Obviously, we had a root for the home team kind of deal in all this. But, Janae, I was fascinated on how you would grade my performance down there, because what we saw from the Sparks team was a great performance there, strong runs to end the half, a strong fourth quarter to finish things out. But on the sideline, I did also notice one thing about the experience, Janae, is Vivica Fox was down there owning the court there, and I had no idea that she was basically like the Jack Nicholson of the sideline for you guys. And I gotta say, the sideline is in very, very good hands with her down there. I was very much trying to earn her respect with my cheers, just as much as I was trying to make sure that the team felt supported, and I feel like it kind of worked.
You are right. We've got to pay respect to the one and only Vivica A. Fox, who, like, you know how you used to have celebrities that root for teams? She is the realist. She is the realist, and that's L.A. That's really L.A. Being able to foster a relationship with her. She's a sponsor, additionally, of our team with her Vivica A. Fox hair. But it was funny. I was talking to my agent, Allison Gaylor, afterward, and she was like, no, Vivica needs to be mic'd up. Because, Junior, I know you bring your A game and your energy, but you were sort of playing too cool for school. You're like, oh, I got my cute little Sparks fit. She does not care. Like, she comes in her glitter looking amazing, but that does not hold her back from doing what she needs to do and get on the refs, but celebrate us. But Junior, you did handle yourself well. I know all bets are off when I am actually playing.
See, and that's why I wanted to feel like I needed to leave room. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. The first college football game I ever called, Janae, I was calling it with Kevin Winter, who we hear all the time on ESPN updates around here and on ESPN Radio. And he said, you got to leave room to grow. Now, Kevin said that, and then we had a 96-yard touchdown return on the kickoff to start that game, and we all proceeded to freak out. But I do want to save room for when I'm at a game when you're on the court, so that the minute you get fouled, that's when I can get up and get thrown out.
That is acceptable. You did well. Shout out to Brooklyn Nets superfan making an appearance at the Sparks game, Mina Kimes. So it was nice to see you guys on the sideline. And I'm curious, like, how was my performance, Junior?
Oh, Janae, strong to quite strong. And when we got to visit with you guys after, and I got to talk to your sister, NECA, who I hadn't seen since the NBA All-Star Weekend in Chicago, we walked up, we talked a little bit, and I said, I got to tell you, NECA, I was proud of Chiney's performance on the sideline, because no one, whether they're in uniform or on the sideline getting valuable rest, wears out officials quite like Janae Ogwumike there. When it gets down to it and the key moments late in the game, you know if a call goes against the Sparks, Janae Ogwumike is going to be up there right next to Derek Fisher, y'all's head coach, letting them have it. And so I figured she knew better than anybody here, but it was really nice to watch your art form in person.
And you know what I love here? And we'll wrap on this. I love that that means I'm officially a vet. I've got the respect of the refs. When I want to talk to them, they're like, Janae, hey, hope you're doing well. Like, we're having some really great conversations. And if you're watching ESPN Plus, there's a picture of Vivica A. Fox cheering loud. She is amazing. These are all live shots from Junior. Junior, we can work on your stuff. Like, these are cute photos, but, like, we got to get, like, the glamour shots. You got to get, like, when the player's close to you. Since you were sitting courtside, you know, some of the action. You know what I'm saying?
That is true. I got a lot of room to grow. You're right. A lot of room to grow.
Well done.
I can say it was a great time. So thank you to the LA Sparks. It was a great game to be a part of here. Another one on Friday. rooted, hashtag rooted in LA. We got it like that. So in addition to being out here at the LA Sparks game, we also got to remind you guys that the NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight. Game 6 is P.J. Tucker and the Bucks host Jeff Green and the Nets, presented by Indeed. Yeah. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations. But, Chinay, while you guys were busy winning, I left about at halftime, I would say, of the 76ers game against the Atlanta Hawks. The Sixers are up 20, as many as 26 in the course of that game. And they proceed to go on one of the more epic collapses of all time down that backstretch. I couldn't believe it when we saw Cliff, our great producer and board op, who has sent along a statement that we can read later in this show regarding the 76ers and their status. Chinay, who do we blame for this right now? Because I was very critical of Ben Simmons earlier in this show. I know I've always kind of been on him for what he has done and his role in this team, but where do you look at the blame lying down the stretch, especially during one of the more all-time collapses?
Yeah, I don't like to point fingers at players, but in this instance, coaches don't play the game, right? Like, that's one thing. They put you in positions to win. And when you have a liability like your free throw shot, right, and that is a professional skill that you should, like, absolutely have. When you have a liability like that that other teams can exploit, it points the finger, unfortunately, at the player, because there's an expectation that if you're at this level, this is non-negotiable, like, to be able to put those things in. Also, it's hard because some things have worked for Ben Simmons, and I'm speaking of him in particular. He does a lot of great intangible things that help championship teams. But if the teams that you play against are going to exploit you to the degree that they have, the same criticisms can be brought about Giannis Antetokounmpo, your lack of a perimeter shot. If that becomes the biggest narrative, that does not help. And no coach can out-scheme something that at the professional ranks should be automatic. And that's the player's dilemma, like forcing development and improvement. And I think in this instance, we all know Joel Embiid is not 100%. He's playing through pain, and he's still producing. Outside of that, like, Ben Simmons, relatively healthy to our common knowledge. And now it's like, okay, you need to have your big games when it matters most, not big games just consistently. Like, we're past that point in the NBA where top players can just expect, oh, I had a great game and everyone will absolve me. No. At this point, after the process, your best games have to come now. And teams like the Hawks and Trae Young, like, they understand that right now. And that, look at Paul George. He understands what he has to do to put himself in a position and his team in a position to win. It's not the coaches. It's not the schemes. It's availability and also showing your growth. Paul George showing it on the mental side. Ben Simmons, it's sort of like that's the opposite end of the spectrum with how that has sort of played out with Philly.
Yeah, I think the amazing part about that is, and so much of the focus has been on Ben developing some sort of game away from the rim, but Chinay, I wasn't even asking, and I don't think any of us were even asking for him to have a great game in the spot, right? Like, Trae Young had a great game down the stretch of this one. Paul George had a great game and has really had a great series for the Clippers against the Jazz. Ben Simmons had 8 points in this game. Ben Simmons in the last two games hasn't attempted a field goal in the fourth quarter. Like, Chinay, that's less developing your game and me just more wondering, what's your mindset on the court during this when we, like you mentioned, we know Joel Embiid is out there hurting. It's the lack of even going after it in the way that we've seen from him. Because we can talk about Doc Rivers managing the second unit of this game all we want, but players win games in this league, and if Ben Simmons isn't going to even attempt a field goal in the fourth quarter, I got to start to ask questions about what this team's future can look like with that as your second best player.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. A lot of people, some players can get away with not shooting the ball, but in this playoff time, you're out to prove, right? Not just perform, you're out to prove. And for him to not shoot the ball sort of shows you that you're not necessarily having that aggressive mentality. Sometimes you shoot the ball a lot and it doesn't work out, but at least you know that you're challenging the defense. If he's not going to shoot at all, then it's a question of why are you on the court? Because if you're not shooting and putting pressure, whether that is, and it can come in different ways. Get a great defensive stop if this is someone that we consider to be a top defensive player. Get the rebound and jam it down their throats. You know what I mean? Like, that's what our coaches say. Not trying to be crazy, but, you know, get just, like, literally grab the ball and go and attack the rim and show that you are here and that they're going to have to apply pressure and that I've got you on your heels instead of just being a non-factor late. Like, that's the last thing. You'd rather just shoot and miss than not shoot at all.
It is. It's like to have better than loved and lost than to have never loved at all type situation for Ben Simmons in the postseason. But coming up next, I do want to switch to the name you mentioned, Paul George. We've made so much of the playoff P thing, his performances in certain areas here. We're on the cusp of something pretty incredible with him in this series. The kind of history Paul George could potentially write. It may not fix everything, but boy, it may go a long way. We'll tell you what he's got ahead of him next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Hall of Famer.
The greatest point guard ever.
Five-time NBA champion.
There's only one person all that applies to.
Magic Johnson knows what it takes to be a winner.
He'll speak with us. Or Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zoo.
Followed by a stop in to get up.
And he'll join me on First Take.
It's Magic in the Morning, Monday, June 21st, starting with KJZ at 6 a.m. Eastern.
Get up on ESPN, starting at 8 Eastern.
And First Take at 10, Monday, June 21st. Magic all morning.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance with more than 30 unique coverage options available. Progressive knows small business. Learn more at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chinay Agwumike. We'll get to talk to our big brother Marcus Spears in a little bit here. Chinay, I don't know if you've seen any of the news that's come out today, but the Chicago Bears president and CEO put out a statement saying that they had purchased land or racetrack in Arlington Heights, north of the city in Chicago, and it seems like there is some potential for the idea of a stadium being built up that way for the Chicago Bears. So a lot to get into there, certainly. And we got to get Marcus's hoops opinions, obviously.
Oh, my gosh. I was just looking at his timeline, and it was all hoops. And I love it, which means these playoffs, while LeBron James did tweet about his disappointment and all of our collective disappointment about a number of top players not being available due to health and all that stuff from the rollout between last season to now, we're still getting some really great, interesting storylines, like KD stepping up, Paul George stepping up. So it's been aight, even through the through all of that drama.
It has. It's been incredible. And it's been incredible because we've gotten marquee performances from big-time players making the turn, right? Luka was phenomenal even in a seven-game series loss. Trae Young is on the brink of downing the one seed in the Eastern Conference with another
Eastern Conference Finals, Junior.
Oof.
The Hawks are one game away from that. Let that sink in.
Chinay, like, I keep like letting it sink in that Atlanta, who knows a thing or two about 25-point leads that go to hell in a handbasket, managed to, in this, like, because when I look at the forces that were at play last night, Chinay, I want you to look at this to see if you see it the same way I do. We had two things going into last night. You could have believed in Paul George's ability to go out, a guy who has been called Pandemic P at certain times, had his nickname made fun of that he gave to himself here, struggled in certain instances that we've talked about in the past. You got that on one side. On the other side, you had the Atlanta Hawks, a team from a snake-bitten sports town that has suffered collapse after collapse unlike almost any other. And you said, all right, going into this night, I can believe that Paul George is going to lift the Clippers franchise to within a game of their first Western Conference Finals ever, or that Atlanta would overcome a lead of its own that it was behind and reverse a curse for an entire city. Chinay, I would have been on Paul George every day and twice on Sunday, and we know that how difficult that is for me to say, but that's how sensational he was, and that's how insurmountable Atlanta's sports curses seem to be.
Oh, and I can give you guys insight. So, as you know, I train out with Proactive Sports Performance in the outskirts of LA, and they have a number of top-tier athletes, one of them being Paul George. And so his team that has kept him right over the offseason, everyone in the building yesterday was like, Chinay, it's funny, they run to me, NBA analyst, Chinay, what do you think? Chinay, what do you think? Like, what's going to happen? And you know what I told him? I think Paul George is going to have a great game because there's no question that he has to perform on every possession. He does not have to defer to Kawhi Leonard. He's going to walk into that arena and knowing every shot he takes, he has to take and be great. And that's exactly what he did. Which is why I was extremely happy. And I'm going back to Proactive tomorrow, so I bet you they're going to be like, yeah, girl, energy. And so, yeah, like, that, we always say on this show, Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, that we like to take you into the locker room. And the mind of an athlete, when you see one star go down, it's now tunnel vision for the other star, especially when it's duos, and that worked to Paul George's favor, and it works to Trae Young's favor, considering he knows he's that guy and it's no other person, and so he's able to just go out there and be consistent, while other teams are like, well, this star is not doing enough, that star needs to do more, and that seesaw is sometimes a little difficult when you're not like the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, I think that's important to notice that, like, yeah, we've gotten so spoiled by some of these monstar-like super teams like the Brooklyn Nets that can trot out great after great, but Paul George's clarity in talking a lot about this has been interesting to note. Like, here he was after the game in the presser talking about understanding and accounting for all the factors going into this game.
You know, it was no secret. I knew I had to be big tonight and got to be big going forward. It was just no secret coming into this. And, you know, I just first put faith in God, believed in myself. My teammates trusted me. T. Lou trusted me. And, you know, I thought we lived in a moment and we just played our hearts out tonight. T. Lou is trusting me in every situation. You know, it's a beautiful thing. And, you know, I learned from my mistakes. I'll get better along the way. But he's allowed me to make mistakes and grow from it. And he's done that all season long. And so he's continuing on to trust me. The team continues on to trust me. So, you know, I got to go out there. I got to play and just continue to be me.
And, Chiney, when we had all the playoff P stuff, like I saw someone in the media scrum asked him after the game if this what playoff P is supposed to look like. And he just sort of smirked and said yeah and moved on pretty quickly after that. This seems like a guy who talked about some of the mental battles he had in the bubble last year, has grown a lot from all of this stuff, and we always knew it wasn't a physical thing with Paul George. He's so gifted. And so if he can start putting some of this together, if he is a bit more sure of himself now, I mean, he's on the cusp, Janae, of potentially getting to go out there and put together a fourth straight 30-point game to potentially close out the series against the number one overall seed in the league en route to the first Western Conference Finals for this Clippers team. I'm not saying all sins are forgiven from the past, Janae, but this will go a long way in changing the way people discuss Paul in the future.
Agreed. It will help people actually go back to the playoff P moniker and also justify that extension that he got at the beginning of the year that had a lot of people be like, why? Well, if he can take them to their first ever Western Conference Finals and be in the mix for, wait, hold on, NBA Finals. Yeah, there we go. That would be nuts, you know? And so this is the opportunities that are coming in the midst of a lot of craziness that this NBA season has produced.
It is absolute insanity. But what's more insane than this? What's more improbable than this? Paul George, now a man on an island, getting to lead the Clippers to their first Western Conference Finals, or the Hawks battling back from a 26-point deficit to put them on the cusp of heading to the Eastern Conference Finals? We'll ask a good friend of ours that next after this word from Indeed. Now, the good news is your business doubled. The even better news is Indeed can help you hire the right people without the wait times of the typical recruiting process. That's because Indeed has a great hiring platform where you can make calls, schedule virtual interviews, and talk to candidates over video right from your easy-to-use employer dashboard. It's just another reason that Indeed delivers four times more hires than all the other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Find your next great hire at Indeed.com/credit. What are the Bears going to do in the burbs next on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus?
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr., Janae Agumake. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and our guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And that's where we head now. You hear him on ESPN every Monday through Friday as a part of NFL Live. Our ESPN NFL analyst, Marcus Spears, joins us here now. And Marcus, we got a lot we want to get with you today on the hoops front here, because we know you were a certified baller coming out of high school, and there's plenty that's going on right now in the NBA. But I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about this first, because you're a guy that played a long time in the NFL, has been around the game for a while. Saw Ted Phillips, the CEO and president of the Chicago Bears, announce that they bought a racetrack up in Arlington Heights north of the city and are exploring options. The thought that maybe the stadium for the Chicago Bears may not always be at Soldier Field right now. How's that sit with you, that idea that they might move and up and change one of the most historical stadiums in the NFL?
Yeah, man. From a historic standpoint, MG Jr., it is a tough pill to swallow, even if the idea is being flirted with. But you know, I learned while I was young, change is inevitable, man. And I don't know what I don't know how Soldier Field is holding up. I'm not sure if repairs that need to be made on it would cost more than just saying, hey, we're going to move to a new location, get more capacity for fans. I know they under contract. I think they at least that thing to 2033 or something. So I don't think it would be anywhere in the near future. The NFL doesn't like breaking leases in the league. That's one thing I learned outside of football when I was playing, because I was there when obviously the Cowboys moved into the new stadium. But man, it's just hard to hear. I mean, you start thinking about the history, the tradition, the Walter Paytons of the world, and all of those guys that put the work in, Refrigerator Perry, McMahon, the music, the songs, Dick Butkus, all of those guys, man. It's hard to imagine them playing anywhere else. But man, we've seen a lot of change occur, and I don't think it's coincidental that they put a bid on Arlington Heights.
That makes sense. A lot of nostalgia already being drummed up in Chi-Town. Chenan Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, talking to Marcus Spears, our own ESPN NFL analyst, but also former Hooper, married to a former Hooper at the highest level. You want to talk some hoops, Spears? Can we do that?
Come on now, y'all. Y'all know I'm ready.
Let's get it. Okay, so I wanted to start with some of the fun stuff, but actually we have to start with the news, Spears, because Rick Carlisle just resigned as head coach of the Dallas Mavericks. I know you probably caught that in between your work.
Yep.
And now we have a couple of interesting coaching vacancies. We've got Dallas with Luka, New Orleans with Zion, Boston with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Out of those three, Dallas, New Orleans, and Boston, which one do you think will be great for a coach maybe potentially like Rick Carlisle?
Portland. And I don't know if y'all saw my Twitter, but I was like, Trailblazers need to be on the phone telling Rick Carlisle, hey, big head, because I was not confident in listening to Damian Lillard in his press conference after they were eliminated once again. And I'm sure that Rick Carlisle cachet, he's an NBA champion. He's managed and done well with a lot of great star players, obviously having Dirk and now having Luka, but even Jason Terry and Sean and all of those guys, Tyson Chandler, when he came in, when they won the NBA championship, look, that was not, if you look at the roster, that was not the best team in the NBA. Rick Carlisle, I'm saying all that to say Rick Carlisle, a hell of a coach. And I don't know if he just got stale in Dallas for him. I don't know what the situation was. He has a young budding star, could potentially be the face of the league in Luka, but wanting to move on. But if I was Portland, a proven coach like Rick, guys seem to love to play for him. He has that type of cachet as well that I think Damian Lillard would look at that move and say, okay, this is a step in the right direction. Because remember, they are trying to keep their star. And there's a lot of talk floating around about Damian Lillard may want to relocate and go to the West Coast or find a better situation where he wants to win a championship. I know he's been adamant about being committed to the Trailblazers, but also you got to, as Portland, you got to show a commitment to him, him and CJ carrying the torch. So it'll be interesting, man. I think Carlisle and Portland, along with Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, and what that team has been on the cusp of doing, it may be a move that keeps Damian interested and he wants to remain in Portland.
Real quick follow-up here. Of Dallas, New Orleans, and Boston, with those stars, if you're a head coach, which one would you pick?
Oh, wait, man. Well, since Rick left Dallas, it'll be hard for me as a coach not to want to go coach Luka. Because he has that type of game that you believe he can actually be the best player in the NBA at some point, right? And as a coach, when you're looking at the landscape and you're trying to determine, especially for guys that may have their first opportunity, like Chauncey Billups, I know Jason Kidd has been on the bench before, but Jason Kidd played in Dallas. I don't know who the coach will be, but if I'm looking at Luka and I'm saying, hey, we already have a guy that we can, if we get another star or if we get another guy to come in, we are legit an NBA title team, a championship title team, that'd be hard for me to pass up.
Marcus Spears with us here on the Goodyear Hotline, our ESPN NFL analyst. Marcus, we're on the cusp of watching both one seeds potentially go down. The Clippers got the Jazz on the ropes after Paul George goes off. Trae Young and the Hawks have the Sixers getting ready to go down. And it's like been improbable. We know the Clippers have a reputation. We know the whole city of Atlanta has a reputation for blowing big leads in sports. So which of those teams, Atlanta or the Clippers, do you have more faith in making it and advancing to the conference finals?
Man, I got more confidence in Atlanta. And the reason why is because I think the Jazz are going to muster up and fight like hell. And they have a superstar on their team, obviously, in Mitch. But when I look at, I don't know how you come back if you're the 76ers from what happened. That complete meltdown. And now, like, Ben Simmons went 4-for-14 from the free throw line. That's going to be a part of the plan, right? And then you give up a big lead, it's demoralizing. Joel Embiid started out high, finished with 37, and your second highest was Steph Curry. Like, listen, this team may be rattled to the point, especially when you have a guy like Ben Simmons who's an all-star that doesn't show up. Now, the flip side of that is Ben Simmons could come out here on fire and play out of his mind. But it's just, to me, obviously, going 4-for-14 means you're not a good free throw shooter, but a part of that could be where you are mentally and how fast can Ben Simmons get over that. And then when Hacker Simmons comes back, will he be able to hit free throws? But the way Trae Young looked, the way Lou came in, Atlanta right now just has the juice. And I don't know if the 76ers are poised from a mental standpoint to shake back from what happened to them yesterday, man. That was horrible. And that's that type of game, that type of performance, that type of loss could carry over. And I'm just concerned that it will.
You want dynamic. Marcus Spears is a chameleon. Check him out on NFL Live and make sure you're following him on Twitter as well, at mspears96 for NFL, NBA takes and everything in between. Big fella, we appreciate you, man. We'll talk to you soon, all right?
Thank you.
My brother. Much love, Sinead. I'll talk to y'all soon.
Marcus Spears, kind enough to join us here on the Goodyear Hotline. All right, lots to get into. I think there's a lot of places that we can go coming off that, but we mentioned some of these young stars here. So I want to look at a couple of these situations and steal a little bit of magic some of our friends around here and look at something, nothing, or everything as it pertains to some of the recent action surrounding the biggest NBA stars. We'll get to that in a touching moment from the Euros next on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr., Janae Agumake. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And earlier in the week, we told you guys and really worked through with everybody the harrowing situation with Christian Eriksen, player for Denmark, who collapsed during their game over the weekend, and people feared the worst for a while. We've gotten so much good news since about his health, his recovery, but there was a pretty touching moment here. Chiney, Denmark was playing Belgium earlier today, and that was a game they led for a while early on. Belgium, one of the powers in this Euro tournament, but at the 10-minute mark of this game, they took some time to stop, take a moment and pay tribute to Christian Eriksen, who wears the number 10. Everybody, the ovation for a player that we saw means so much more to these players, to the world of soccer, than just something that has to do with a ball here. The 29-year-old's renowned as one of the real good guys around a lot of these organizations, and so pretty cool to see everyone involved come together to support not only Christian, but his teammates that had been through so much having to watch that ordeal as well.
Yeah, and seeing clips of that, the first thing that stood out to me was the banner. Like, the fans created a banner knowing that they wanted to show love. Everyone, we're on this together. And then even just seeing the emotion still on the face of the players, dealing with what they had all witnessed, to me was humbling. And I'm just we're all grateful that this had the best outcome possible. But my goodness, it still is jarring, and it's still something that a lot of people are emotionally processing.
Yeah, the more you heard people talk about this situation, they've referenced not only Christian, but his teammates, his family members. This is probably going to be something they have to learn how to process and cope with for a while, and you'll never know when these things will hit you, what the mental side of this will look like. And so while this kind of support is great, we know there's going to be even more support behind the scenes for these players, coaches, and family members, including Christian himself, as they go through this process. But a pretty touching moment there for a Denmark team that looked like for a while they may go out here and really shock the world in this tournament, in this game. Belgium end up winning 2-1, but a lot of things bigger than the sport right now that we've seen on display in this tournament. Janae Angolik Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. And Janae, the last couple of days, it's just been NBA news beating us over the head. And I feel like what happens, and I know local markets, local media, local fans get really mad at big bad national folks when we come in here and try and pry their star players out of places and start up drama. And so I want to ask you, just looking at a couple of situations, because I think we got two that have really taken center stage over the course of the day. Rick Carlisle out for the Dallas Mavericks, 13 years as their head coach. Luka Doncic, a 22-year-old supernova in that city, in that organization, picking up after Dirk Nowitzki. And we know, we had the article that came out the other day from The Athletic talking about, all right, you've got Bob Vulgaris, someone they call the shadow GM in there. Mark Cuban brushed back on it. But since then, you got Donnie Nelson, their GM, retiring, saying it's a mutual parting of ways. And now this with Rick Carlisle. And Luka Doncic said, I like Donnie Nelson. He brought me into this organization, but I don't get to make the decisions. Janae, looking at that situation first, before we get to Zion, are you reading something, nothing, or everything into that situation?
Something based on how we saw the way that Rick Carlisle exited, resigning. A lot of people that want to continue coaching, you know, they end up, you know, their contracts expire and they leave. But, like, the timing of this one is sort of a red flag. Also, the GM prior, a red flag, a day before. It just seems like there's a shift happening in Dallas. And the hardest thing to realize if you are, like you say, local, you know, local sports fans, I'm a Texan myself, is that these shifts, while you might have personal connections to someone that coached your team for 13 years, you also have a star player that you don't want to see their talents wasted. And these are some hard decisions that you have to make when you realize, have all these positions that we put our players in, the contracts we signed, have they all added up? And, you know, sometimes you try exploring players first. You're never going to explore Luka, because I love how you called him a supernova. But if that doesn't work, you graduated up. And now you're at GM and coach, and this is hopefully the move that they think will propel them to being in the playoffs when you're seeing it doesn't help with Trae Young, the guy that you get drafted, you know, arguably in the same range as, you know, swapping, is out here doing his thing in one game away from the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, that doesn't help either.
That is a big how the turntables moment for that franchise, who's usually on the other side of this debate.
Yes.
What about Zion, Chinee? We got Zion in New Orleans, Stan Van Gundy out after 1 year, and now we saw reports from The Athletic today that apparently members of Zion's family have expressed a desire to see him elsewhere because they didn't feel like he has been given enough around him in New Orleans. Is this something, nothing, or everything, Chinee?
I think this is everything. Just because Zion is so nice of a guy that he would never probably say it or articulate it, and he's going to let his family do it. And some people move that way, and I'm not a problem. But this is everything just because Zion went to New Orleans, and it's not like we had the world bending towards New Orleans even if they were not in the playoffs. You know what I mean? Like, we thought Zion could change the way we look at those types of things and how we pay attention to teams. No, this league is so deep. And so I think he might realize that he's in a tough position to be marketed as a star player. And, you know, not saying that that's his decision, but, like, it's not like everything is great because you are there. I don't think he parts ways, obviously, but I think that this is applying pressure the same way we see a lot of stars apply pressure, both in the NBA and NFL.
Yeah, I think these things can mean a lot, even if they're not impacting these organizations right now. Because Luka was hinting after the season, he kind of made it clear he was going to sign that Supermax that felt like something he might be in line with. Zion's only a few years into this, so these might be things that just look like seeds right now. But we know it does not take long for those to sprout, not in hashtag this league. Coming up next, though, speaking of this league, we'll give you a couple of would-you-rathers for the remainder of the postseason. Coming up next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.